responsible for the lighthouse down in Kilcador, further down the estuary. So the construction is limestone, and we're told would have been hand-dressed, hand-cut, and sourced in East Clare or Limerick and shipped down the river to its final place here at Loophead. The walls are over a metre in thickness, so it's well able to withstand the wild west weather that we get here, and God only knows it's pretty spectacular sometimes. And being a round tower is much more sort of resilient to the elements. It's 23 metres high and would have been similar height to the first tower that was here. So 1866, the authorities then decided that it might be an idea to have a flashing light or an intermittent light instead of a fixed light, and developed the so-called character den of the lighthouses. And here at Loophead, it's full flashes every 20 seconds with a white light. And each lighthouse has its own. And all of those would have been marked on the sort of shipping charts for ships and vessels out at sea.
So they each had their own signature, right?
Yes. And some lighthouses would have had different coloured lights depending on where they were, whether they were a little bit more inland, you know, down the estuary, or where their position was. But here at Loophead, it's a white light and it's four flashes every 20 seconds and I'm being dripped off. The building's sweating a little bit again. So what was I going to say? So that was 1866. It wasn't until 1970, so not all that long ago. I know I started secondary school in 71, and it doesn't seem that long ago, but this building first then became powered by electricity. So 1970, I think, is very late for such a basic commodity to. Prior to that, the lighthouse keepers, and there would have been three, would have taken it in turns to crank the mechanism. And I say it was a bit like winding a grandfather clock, and that would have happened every hour, 24 hours a day, to make sure there was enough power there for the light to do its job. And this column here that you've got from the top to the bottom of the building would have housed all the mechanics for that. I mean, the access points there are well and truly painted over, but you know, that would have been for routine daily checks, maintenance, repairs, replacements, and so on. The lens itself sits on a bed of mercury, so make sure that rotation and the sequence, the character, whatever you want to call it, is never disrupted in any way. And I'll tell you a little bit more about the bulbs when we're up on top, but just a quick reminder of thinking thin and minding your heads when we go out the doorway on top. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Yes, get up there.
Count the steps,
Keen,
eh?
Count the steps.
No! Why not? Okay, so don't count the steps then.
Cool, close at 5:30 then for tours.
Say what?
Close at 5:30 for tours.
You good?
You alright?
The one that's in operation at the moment. So if the visibility dropped to a certain level, it would automatically come on, because everything is automated now and governed by Irish Lights up in Dunleary. Now the other bulb that's at a 45 degree angle is the reserve bulb. So if that upright one should blow, as many of them, you know, do in our kitchens and so on, then the other one kicks in automatically. And each of those are 1,000 watt in power. Mm-hmm. Well, do you know, people go, ooh, and I'm going, well, I don't think that's big, that's considering the job that it does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not unusual to have a 100-watt bulb in your kitchen sometimes, is it? You know, it's only 10 times stronger. Yeah. But then it's the lens and the magnification and so on that throws it out, and that goes out 23 nautical miles out to sea. Yeah. And I understand that a